Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teacher Ministry. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be back before you again. Amen. We're coming to you talking about the seed, the sower that sowed the seed, which was the word of God. And amen, let's just open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we give you glory and we give you praise for everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord. God, I thank you for the message on tonight. I thank you for permission to preach this message, Lord, through the Holy Spirit and through the anointing, God, of the Holy Spirit. Father, we give full reign and control to you tonight, Father. We release this Bible study unto you, Lord, that only the things that are said will be said that you want to be said, Father, in Jesus' name. And we give you glory. We pray that you will be glorified and that the kingdom of God will be edified and built up in your people through this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming to you tonight, amen, talking about the different types of seed that are sown on the ground, amen. And we're coming to you out of the book of Matthew. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we're going to talk, amen, tonight from the book of Matthew on the different types of seed. And we're going to start in Matthew 13, amen. And we're going to start in the first verse, praise the Lord. So, let's go up to verse 1. The Bible says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. That's verse 4. Verse 5, some fell among stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who have ears to hear, let them hear. Let's stop there and let's discuss these verses up to verse 10. The Bible says in verse 3 that Jesus talked to them in parables because, as we talked before last week, we were talking about parables. And Jesus said that he talked in parables because it was given unto the disciples and the children, the disciples, in which he had more than 12 disciples, we know, but it was given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And so he was saying that those that he spoke in parable to did not have eyes to see and ears to hear to understand what he was saying. So the Bible said he spoke unto them in parables. Amen. And he said in verse 3, he talked to them in parables because it was not given to them to understand spiritual things. That's what we talked about last week. Spiritually minded people. Amen. Therefore, they were carnal and naturally minded. So he had to speak to them in parables. But we know that the carnal man is death, but the spiritual man is life, the Bible says, and peace. So verse 3, he said, a sower went forth to sow. Now, one thing I want you to notice about this, in verse 4, he said, we're going to talk about the different types of ground tonight. He says, some fell by the wayside. And look what he says happened. Number one, he says, the fowls came and devoured them. So the wayside Christians, all of these people are in church because they're hearing the word, first of all. Let's just get that out the way. This is happening in the church. Amen. He said, the kingdom of heaven is light. So he's talking about in the church. Amen. He says, some fell by the wayside. Now, this is in the church, some fall by the wayside. And the reason why they fall by the wayside, he gave us a description of what happens when people fall by the wayside. He said the first thing that happens is the fowls come and devour the seed that was sown. If you look in verse 19, he explains a little bit more. So verse 4 and verse 19 are talking about the same thing, the Christians that fall by the wayside. So in verse 19, so you have to read those two together, verse 4 and verse 19. He said in verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. So these are wayside Christians. They hear the word, but they don't understand the word. Amen. He said, then cometh the wicked one. So the fowls here in verse 4, he explains that that is the wicked one. Amen. Or the enemy, amen. He said, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. So even though you don't understand, this is what I ask God, because I always ask God if I don't understand something. And I said, if there's no understanding, why is it necessary to take the word away that was sown? If the person did not understand what the word was anyway, why would there have to be a need for someone to come and take away the word or the seed if it was never understood in the first place? And God let me know, because if the seed, the word of God, stays long enough on some ground, eventually there's a chance that some spiritual understanding may take place and produce fruit in that person's life. So even though they didn't have any understanding at first, if that seed is allowed to remain in their heart, which that's the word of God, in the heart of the believer in church, there's a possibility that it may produce fruit. The enemy is trying to take away the productiveness or the fruitfulness of the church, the body of Christ. He does not want us to be fruitful and multiply. He does not want us to be productive. He doesn't want the word to produce, and for the kingdom of God's sake, amen. And we're talking about souls tonight. That's all we're talking about. I don't want you to think we're talking about church buildings. I don't want you to think we're talking about building funds. I don't want you to think we're talking about sowing tithes or sowing money. The only thing we're talking about tonight is souls, because that is kingdom work. That is what Jesus was talking about in the Bible when he talked about building the kingdom of God. He was talking about souls. Amen. So I want you to keep that in the forefront of your mind tonight as we discuss these scriptures. Praise God. But the Bible says, and so we're in spiritual warfare, because another scripture talks about the kingdom of heaven, but it says that the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So we're talking about spiritual warfare. Amen. We are in a battle. Amen. The devil is in a battle for the souls of God's people. He's in a battle. He doesn't care about the people that are not saved. He's already their father. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father, the will of your father, you will do. So he already has them. He doesn't have to fight for their souls. They already belong to him. He has to fight to hold on to them, which is what we're talking about tonight as far as the Christians producing fruit and taking someone out of the kingdom of darkness, because Paul says that you are translated at the point of salvation, you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, which is a marvelous light, he said. So we're talking about taking someone out of the kingdom of darkness, or out of Satan's control, or out of the kingdom of darkness, and planting them into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So right here, he says, the wicked one, which is the devil, catcheth away that which was sown. And we're in verse 19. Catcheth away the word that was sown in the heart of the people. Amen. If he did not understand, then the person did not understand, but yet the seed was still stolen. He still came and took the seed, because that word is going to produce fruit if it's allowed to remain. I want you to see that. Amen. If it stays long enough. So understanding may take place and produce fruit. And the whole goal, what I'm trying to get to, the end result of what I'm trying to say is, at the end of the day, the devil does not want us to produce fruit. He wants us to be unproductive and to be unfruitful. Praise God. So the whole thing with the seed that fell on by the wayside is that they did not produce fruit. And as you see, none of these grounds that we're talking about tonight, out of the four different types of ground, none of the first three produce any kind of fruit. And we're going to see why. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says, this is he that receive a seed by the wayside. Zero fruit was produced. Amen. Because the enemy came and took the seed that was sown. First he didn't understand, then he came and stole the seed that was sown. So those are Christians that fall by the wayside. The next type of ground in verse 5, some fell among stony places. Let's go down to verse 5, back up to verse 5, whatever, from verse 19. The Bible says, some fell among stony places. Now let's discuss some of the attributes or some of the characteristics of stony places. The first thing Jesus said about the stony places is that they do not have much earth. Okay, let's talk about this. He said they do not have much earth, and but they spring up because there's a little bit of earth. So they do spring up, but because they didn't have a lot of earth, they did not have a chance to grow roots deep into the ground. Amen. So this is what he's talking about here. Not much earth. When they sprang up, they had no depth. He was talking about the roots. Amen. So a Christian has got to receive the word, but not only do we have to receive the word, but we've got to be planted, amen, in good soil where we can grow our roots, amen. We've got to be fruitful and multiply. You cannot do that if you don't have any roots, amen. So look why roots are very important. The roots of a plant are very important. If a plant doesn't have roots, it's not going to be able to sustain and be able to grow and produce fruit. So look at this. The Bible says they did not have much earth but they sprang up. So it looks like they are producing. They're going to produce fruit because they're springing up on top of the ground. What you can see, the figs. You can see the branches. Amen. It looks like they're going to produce fruit, but you don't see what's going on beneath the ground with the roots and the depth and the soil, and it's not very deep. Amen. So the Bible said they sprang up, but they had no depth. And the second thing that we want to talk about with the stony places is when the sun comes. Amen. The Bible says when the sun comes, because they did not have any roots, because they did not have any depth in God, they were scorched. That's the second part of verse 5. And because they had no root, the Bible says they withered away. So the Bible says when the sun came up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Let's go down to verse 20 through 21 to see what else Jesus had to share about the stony places. Verse 20 and 21, he says, "He that receiveth seed in stony places is he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy he receiveth it." So these Christians look like other Christians that receive the word with joy. Amen. He said, "Yet he have not root in himself, and endure for a while." So they remain saved. They are saved. They get saved. Amen. But he said, because they have not root, because they didn't have any depth, because they didn't have enough earth, because they didn't have a chance to get their roots planted, he said, because they had no root in themselves, they endure for a while. So that's the same thing he was saying in verse 5. When the sun came, they were scorched and they withered away. He said in verse 20 and 21, "For when the sun," when persecution or tribulation arises because of the word. And we know that he's talking about the sun, the heat, the scorching heat, the tribulation or persecution that's going to come because of the word. Remember Jesus said in another scripture, he said, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." He said, "Offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom the offenses come." Amen. So he said that tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word. You are going to be persecuted. The Bible said, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Praise God. I read the scripture the other day in the book of Acts. I think it was in Acts. I was reading. I'm talk about this again on another Bible study because it was in another one of my notes, where Paul said he was shipwrecked 3 times. He was stoned. He was, left for dead. Paul was more than persecuted, amen, for the word. Persecution and tribulation is going to come. Jesus said, "But be of good cheer." He said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Amen. So when persecution comes because of the word, saints, don't get discouraged. Jesus said, be encouraged, rejoice, amen, because he said, "I have overcome the world." Praise God. But the Bible says that these Christians, amen, in verse 20 and 21, they endure for a while, but because they didn't have not root in themselves, they endure for a while. But when the sun or the scorching heat, tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by they are offended. A lot of Christians backslide or leave God because of offenses that come because of the word. Don't get offended because of the word. Jesus said, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." Praise God. You do not produce fruit when you get offended. This is for the babies in Christ. I don't know who you are that I'm talking to tonight, but God is saying that don't take offense, amen. Don't get offended when the persecution comes that's going to come because of the word that you're standing on, amen. Because you want to produce fruit. You can't produce fruit if you get offended when the persecution comes, amen. Let's go on. Some fell among thorns, verse 7. The thorns sprang up and choked them. This is what Jesus said in verse 7, but in verse 22, he explained what he was saying in verse 7. The Bible says, he that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, which is the prosperity gospel that is going around in the church now, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This is the state of the modern day church today. The devil knows how to use the word of God. He knows the word. He quoted the scripture to Jesus. Amen. He said, it is written, thou shalt not dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus came back with the word again. That's in Matthew chapter 4. He said, yeah, it's written. But he says, also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Swore for swore. Word for word. Sometimes the devil knows the word. You have to know the word. I was in a seminar the other day, and we were talking about the strategy. Amen. And strategy, the church should have a strategy, amen. The same way the devil has a strategy. The devil is a strategic player. He has, the Bible says, we are not ignorant of his devices or his wiles of the devil. The word wiles means strategies, amen. It means that he has a strategic plan in place to destroy or to stop the word from producing fruit in the lives of people. And this is one of the strategies of the enemy that Jesus let us look into. Amen. The Bible says in verse 22, he that receiveth seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, which is the prosperity gospel, choke the word, and they become unfruitful. So when you preach the word, when you receive the seed, amen, and you are in the Bible says, these are they that receive seed among thorns, the deceitfulness of riches. The devil has this prosperity gospel going around in the church. That first of all, it's the cares of this world. The devil wants to get people focused on this world, this life, not thinking about the next life or eternity. And that's what we talked about before. We talked about eternity and not thinking about the next life. Amen. Just being focused on this world. The Bible says, I think it was David that said, if in this life if I only have hope in this life, I am of all men most miserable. Amen. So it's got to be more to it than just this life. This little 60 or 70 years that God promised us on this earth, that's nothing compared to eternity, saints. We've got to be eternity-minded. We've got to think about life after death. We've got to think about living forever, amen, and where we're going to spend eternity, amen. But the Bible says if he can just get us to focus on the cares of this world, which that's what a lot of Christians are doing, and then also if he can get us to worry about the riches, amen, the deceitfulness of riches. The Bible says riches are deceitful. That's why Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom, because he told the rich young ruler to sell all that he had and come and follow him. If that man had been spiritually minded, he would have been glad to follow Jesus, because Jesus was leading him to eternal life, which is what he asked for. He said, how shall I inherit eternal life? Jesus was giving him the answer. He was giving him the key to eternal life. He said, sell all that you have and come and follow me. But the Bible said he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. The Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches, and this is not something a lot of preachers is going to preach about because they're after your money. But I'm not after your money. I pray I never get to the place where I want people money more than I'm concerned about their soul. Praise God. But the Bible says the deceitfulness of riches, which is the prosperity gospel, choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. So this is what's happening in the church today. The word is unfruitful, amen. It's not producing souls into eternal life, amen, because people are more concerned about this world and what they can gain in this world. That's why another scripture says, Jesus said, lay not your treasure upon earth where moth and dust corrupts and thieves break through and steal. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he's not, he said, lay not for yourself treasures on earth. But people, a lot of churches is telling you to try to get all that you can in this life, and God don't want you to go without it. God, we are kingdom people, and yes, you know, we're supposed to have this, and we're supposed to have that. You know, all of that has its own place. But at the same time, we have to be kingdom-minded. We have to think about eternity, amen? The Bible says, don't become unfruitful. We have to be able to bear fruit. Now, I'm going to show you why in just a moment. In verse 8, the Bible talks about some fell into good ground. Now, let's talk about this. The people that fell, the seed that sowed on good ground, the Bible says it brought forth fruit. People quote it wrong because I quoted it wrong. I said some 30, some 60, some 100. But when I read it tonight, the Lord showed me, Jesus said, bring forth fruit 100-fold. He said the 100-fold before he said the 60 and the 30-fold, because we are supposed to be aiming high. We're supposed to be aiming for 100-fold return on the word that is sown. That means for every seed that's sown, everything that you do for God, amen, you're supposed to look for 100-fold return. If you sow one seed, you can expect 100 people to get saved. You're just supposed to aim high, amen. But he says some brought forth fruit, which is talking about souls, 100-fold, some brought forth fruit, talking about souls again, 60-fold, and some brought forth food, talking about souls again, 30-fold. Verse 23, this is when he dissects the word that he spoke about in verse 8 about the good ground. The Bible says in verse 23, he that fell into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. So when you hear the word, you're supposed to understand the word of God that is preached, amen, or taught from the pulpit. Then you can bear fruit. The Bible said when you hear the word and you understand the word, that's why teaching is so important, amen. But also it says that you bear fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Praise the Lord. But they all brought forth fruit, just in different measures. Praise God. In verse 10 through 13, in Matthew 13, Jesus is saying, therefore speak unto them in parables, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, talking about the people that he spoke to in parables. Also he said, to him that have shall be given, and he shall have more. But to him that have not, from him shall be taken away even that which he have. Talking about spiritual understanding and spiritual knowledge. God said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, as far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how different my ways are from your ways. So we will never be able to understand God in the natural mind. We have to understand God by the Spirit. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The carnal mind is enmity with God. It cannot understand the things of God, for it's carnal, amen. It's the enemy of God, amen. Neither indeed can it ever understand the things of God, amen. So the Bible says, seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Still talking about understanding. So you have ears to hear and you have eyes to see. But Jesus said, they see not, and neither do they hear, neither do they understand. Now let's read verse 14. He said, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah when he said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, the Bible says, is waxed gross, amen, or overgrown. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. So understanding takes place in the heart. And once you see, once your God opens up your eyes to the spiritual truth of the mysteries of the kingdom, look what Jesus said happens. He said, when your eyes are open and your ears are open and you understand with your heart, then you can be converted and then you can be healed. Praise God. Remember when Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, after you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Everybody is not converted at the time when they get saved. You have to go through a process, a death process. You have to die to the flesh. You have to die to the things of the flesh. You have to die to your will. You have to be able to pray the Lord's Prayer, and you have to actually mean it. Amen. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. So you have to substitute the will of God for your will. And then at that point, that's when you become converted. When you give up on what you want and accept God's will for your life. Amen. Then you can be a mature person in Christ. And Jesus said you can be converted and you can be healed. But only when you give up. The Bible says carry your cross. That means you have to die daily. Amen. You have to die daily. Paul said, I die daily. Amen. He said, the things that I would, that I want to do, I do not. Amen. That's in Romans chapter 8. He said, but the things that I don't want to do, those things I do. So he said, what shall I say then? Who shall separate me? That's another scripture. Who shall separate me from the love of God? He said, shall tribulation or distress, amen, or anything? He said, nothing. I am persuaded that nothing shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, amen. But going back to Romans chapter 8, he said in Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. Amen. So all things are going to work together for your good. Amen. If you are called according to the will of God, but you have to put yourself in the will of God, and you have to forget about what you want. And that's what makes you accept what God has for you. Remember the three Hebrew boys? They said, I know in Esther, let me start with Esther. She said, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. Esther had to sell out from what she wanted and accept what God wanted for her life. Because Mordecai told her, he said, how do you know you were not brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, Esther? Amen. He said, but if you will hold back and you don't do what God's saying, you don't obey and go and speak to the king for the people, he said, you're going to be destroyed. But God is going to make a way from another way. Amen. So a lot of times we get focused on ourselves and think that God can't do it unless he used us. We get the big head. Esther said, she's going to see the king. Amen. She said, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. Because she had to intercede for the people of God because that was what God ordered her to do. Amen. That was his perfect and divine will for her at that time for his people to be delivered. Praise God. And she said yes. Amen. And we have to say yes to the will of God. Amen. Praise God. But the Bible says, blessed are your eyes, in verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Now, this is a very important point. After he said that they don't see, lest they should be converted and I should heal them, the very next verse, he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In verse 17, he said, for I say unto you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things that you hear and have not heard them. Verse 18, he said, hear ye the parable of the sower. Then he starts explaining what we've already talked about. So the fruit here that Jesus was speaking of is an abundance of souls being birthed into the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what he said the kingdom of heaven is like. He said some 100-fold return, some 60-fold return, and some 30-fold return. God is looking for fruit from the word planted that is sown in our lives. Just as Jesus looked for fruit on a fig tree in Matthew 21 and 18. Amen. Let's turn over to that real quick. Matthew 21 and 18. And we're going to start in verse 18. The Bible says, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, and remember, we're talking about a return on the investment that God has planted in you. Amen. The seed falling on good ground. God wants a return. Amen. He said, bring forth fruit. Now let's look at this. The Bible says, as he was hungry, in verse 19, he saw a fig tree in the way. He came to it and found nothing on it but leaves only, and said to it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Now when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, because it had leaves on it, let's talk about this for a minute. Because the fig tree had leaves, it should have had fruit. So it was deceiving the people. This is why Jesus cursed it. You don't ever see leaves on a tree and it doesn't have fruit. Either the tree is bare or it's not time for fruit. But once the leaves come, and the leaves are there, and there should be fruit on the tree. This tree was deceiving people. That's why Jesus cursed it. It had leaves, it was time, it was the season for figs, but it was naked. Jesus cursed it because it did not produce fruit in its season. Amen. So I want you to see that. Jesus taught about the disciples being able to do the same thing he did unto the fig tree. Not only that, but also would they be able to speak to the mountain and it will move. These scriptures are quoted in the same verse, but most people, when they preach about the mountain moving faith, they don't tell you about the fig tree first. Jesus said, not only, he said, we always talk about speaking to the mountain, but Jesus said in verse 19, if you have faith and doubt not, look what he said, you shall not only do that which is done to the fig tree, which is cursed. Anything, the Holy Ghost told me, curse anything that is unproductive in your life and in your territory, which is in your surrounding, the territory that God has given you. You have the right and the power to curse anything that's unproductive in your life or in your territory. But, he said, if you have faith, you shall not only do what is done to the fig tree, but you shall speak to the mountain and command it to be cast into the sea. So we cannot separate these two things. We don't just speak to the mountain. We have to have faith to curse the unproductive things in our life before we can speak to the mountain. People get this cart before the horse again by only quoting half of the scripture, but it's all in the same verse. I could see if it was all in the same paragraph, people not quoting them together. But this is the same verse, people. Wake up. Verse 19. He said, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which is done to the fig tree, but you shall speak. That's a conjunction, connecting the two thoughts together. He said, you shall speak to the mountain and command it to be cast into the sea. So you have to have faith to curse the unproductivity in your life before you can speak to the mountain. Amen. Then he said, you shall speak to the mountain and command it to be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Verse 22 continues the same teaching where he said, all things that you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Amen. So here he's talking about cursing unproductive things in your life, and then you can have faith to speak to the mountain. And he said, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Amen. So that all of that goes together. You can't separate it. Amen. Now, the same thing, we're going to talk one more time, another verse. The Bible says in Matthew 25 and verse 14, the same thing as the man that gave out the talents. Remember, we're talking about being productive tonight. So let's turn over to Matthew 25 and 14. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a faraway country. Remember, Jesus came to earth. So he's comparing himself to this man that traveled into a faraway country. And the Bible says this man gave gifts or talents unto men. Well, remember, the Bible says Jesus, when he was arose from the dead, he gave gifts and talents unto men, which is us. The Bible says this man gave gifts and talents to men according to his several ability. Verse 16, one received five talents. They went and traded and received five more. They produced fruit, or they returned a return on the investment. Amen. The Bible says he that we have received two. Let's go over there and read in Matthew 25, because I want to read it verse for verse before we talk about it. In Matthew 25, and we're in verse 14. So let's go up to verse 14. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Verse 15, and unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents, in verse 16, went and traded with the same and made them another five talents. And likewise also he that had received two, he also gained another two. Verse 18, but he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Bible says, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. That's verse 20. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22, he also that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, or another scripture says an austere man, a hard man, and I know that you reap where you have not sown, and you gather where you have not strawed. And I was afraid. See, fear. You can't do anything for God being afraid. He said, I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. So I buried your talent. Amen. A lot of saints are doing this. You have gifts and callings of God. The Bible said the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But you're not using your gift and your talent. I wasted so many times, so much time, waiting on a preacher to open up his pulpit to me. And I read the Bible in the book of Acts. It says, you know, a person went into a church, they just got up and started preaching. If they were anointed and they had a message from God, the people received them, the Bible said, with open arms, and the Bible says they went around preaching and spreading the word. They were received, amen. The Christians were happy to receive the word, amen. And they just, you know, just had one big happy fellowship. I thought, oh my God, this is the way it's going to be for me. I'm going to be able to go out there and be received, amen, into the church world, and people are going to open up their doors for me. I'm going to be faithful in the church, and they're going to let me preach, amen. Man, I ran into so many people that were selfish and just pastors that just didn't want thinking about the kingdom, just thinking about their church, just thinking about their name, just thinking about keeping the people they had in their little church, thinking about somebody trying to divide the church or trying to split the church. Instead of thinking like God said, they were being hoarding and just holding on to the people that they had and just saying, this is my church, this is my ministry, you know. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, what happened to the fellowship? What happened to the love? What happened to the receiving, you know, of other people into the body to build up the body? Amen. That's just not happening anymore, saints. People are not opening up their church doors to you because you have a gift, because you have a talent. Amen. And I sat for years, and I didn't have a door that was open unto me, even though the anointing was there and the word was there and I was called. Amen. People were not helping me. That's why I told God, if you ever give me a platform, Lord, if you ever give me a facility, I'm going to be a blessing to those people that are called. I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to give them a platform. I'm going to help them to go forth. I'm going to build them up, and I'm going to send them out to the body of Christ as a whole, because that's the will of God, saints. We are supposed to be helpers one to another. We that are elder are to support the weak. We are to support the ones, amen, that are coming up. We are to help the ones in the ministry, amen, that have a call of God, amen, and sincere love for God, and have the word of God. We are supposed to help those people, amen, and God is going to hold us accountable if we don't. But, I mean, that's just another thing. But thank God I'm in a church now where that's not happening. But I'm just telling you, for so long, I just, you know, wasted so much time with churches that were not open to receive, amen, the gift that God was sending them, amen. And I'm not saying that proudly or boastfully, amen, but I'm saying it off of a truth, amen. They were not open, amen. So look at what God is saying, amen. He said, this man said, I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the earth, and that so that that thou hast that is thine. Amen. He said, what you gave me, I'm giving it back to you. I'm not giving you anything more. I'm just giving you back what you gave me. Look what God said about that man in verse 26. The Bible said, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. In other words, he said, you are wicked and lazy. He said, you knew that I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I had not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. He says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that have 10 talents. Man, this thing threw me for a loop the first time I read it, because I was like, why would he give it to the one that had 10? He already had 10. But I was looking at it from the opposite. You know, God said, your way, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So I had to wait until I grew in God to really understand what this scripture meant. But he gave it to him because he went and he was the most productive. Amen? He gave him back the most. He gave him 10 and he received back 10 more. He got 20. He doubled it. Amen? So he said, give him that one, because I know if he did it with 10, he can do it with one. Amen? So this is why God said, take it from him and give it unto him that have 10 talents. Matthew 25 and 29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. That's why he gave it to him that had 10. But from him that have not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Talking about spiritual understanding. He said in verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise the Lord. So the Bible is talking about being faithful, producing fruit for the kingdom of God, being faithful over a few things. God says he's going to make you ruler over many. Talking about the man that was afraid, he went and hid his talent. He did not produce. He did not increase fruit for the master. He was not profitable to him. He did not prove faithful. Amen. Verse 26. God called him a wicked and slothful servant. He said, you should have put my money on the exchange. Even if you didn't double it or triple it, I could have got it, came back and received some interest on it. Amen. It wasn't just laying there not being productive. Amen. So verse 29 is the same scripture that we saw earlier when referring to the different kinds of ground, how we see it and hear it discussing the unfaithful servant. For unto everyone he said that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But for him that have not, it shall be taken away, even that which he have. So God is very fair. If you produce fruit for him, he's going to give you an abundance. He's going to call you a faithful servant. He's going to give you more to work with. Amen. But he said, if you don't produce fruit, if you're barren, amen, and you don't produce, you don't use the gift that he gave you. And that's the point I was trying to make earlier. I didn't want to just talk about the churches I had went to, but I wanted to say I had to come to a point in my life where I had to use whatever was available to me. Just like God told Moses, look at the staff, what's in your hand. A lot of times Moses didn't see how the way was going to be made, but God told him, he said, what's in your hand? So I had to use what was available to me. And that started off being Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Now it's getting ready to turn into books, amen, that are going to produce fruit for the kingdom. But it started off with Blog Talk Radio, and I've been faithful to that, and God is blessing me, and I'm going to take it up another notch to the next level. Praise God. But I couldn't just sit back and keep saying, waiting for somebody to open up the door for me at their church, because it just wasn't happening. So I had to use what I had, which was this platform, which I hope is being a blessing to you. Amen. But I'm getting an opportunity. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm using this as an opportunity to share the word, to produce fruit, amen, for the kingdom of God. I just put it out there and ask God to bless it, to multiply it. And God told me that I have not seen and ear have not heard, amen, the things that's going to come out of this broadcast. I mean, even more than what is happening now. But years down the road, these broadcasts are going to bless people, amen, and produce fruit in people's lives. Praise God. But the Bible says, and I don't want to be an unprofitable servant. I don't want to stand before God and he asks me, why didn't you use the gift that I gave you, you know, and make excuses and say this person didn't do what they were supposed to do or this person didn't give me the opportunity. No, God is going to say, I gave you the opportunity. I gave you the gift. You should have went. You hid it in the ground. You're unprofitable to me. I don't want him to say that. I want him to say, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. I'm going to make you ruler over much. Amen. And on that note, I'm going to close out the broadcast tonight. I just want to say thank you, saints, for listening in. Thank you. You know who you are. Thank you, Sister Mary. Thank you for all the saints that support me with your prayers and your listenership. Amen. And just listening in and spreading the word, amen, of this ministry, Manna Teacher Ministry. I thank God for you. And I ask God, I pray for a special blessing on your life tonight. Amen. That God would return back unto you. Amen. The seed that you've sown, I pray for a special blessing in your life, that your life would not be the same, that God will take you to higher heights and deeper depths in him, that there will, you will not lack any good thing, amen, and that your life will be productive in the kingdom of God. God bless you, saints. I love you, and I'll see you again on Thursday night with Manna Teaching. God bless you. Good night.